The week before last, I was preparing this service and thinking about what we would do, and I heard the news of that attack on the synagogue in Manchester. And I felt that we as a church needed time to think about our response to such an atrocity and similar events. Time to ponder on why our country has become so intolerant of different groups in society. And there seems to be genuine animosity between people other than ourselves, and even hatred. And so this service is mainly a kind of meditation on the issues around these events, with reflection and some silence for our own thinking as we proceed through the service. So we begin with our first reading, which is from Matthew's Gospel.
So we're looking at Matthew 15, verses 10 to 20, where Jesus explains what defiles a person, or the things that make a person unclean. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind, blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into the pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? And what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile."
Jesus has been challenged frequently about the way he lived his life, and the way he let his disciples apparently break the laws of their religion. And one complaint was about food and the disciples breaking the rules about what to eat and when. And in this passage, Jesus explains that eating things is not what makes a person impure. As he said, food goes into the mouth, passes through the body before being expelled at the other end. But what comes out of their mouth is speech. And that's the problem. And speech usually shows what a person is thinking deep down. Maybe they don't even recognize that within them. I remember after the murder of the little girls at their dance class in Southport, a woman was convicted, I think, of criminal hate speech for putting a message on social media encouraging the killing of supposed perpetrators. And she said she was very upset when out of the mouths comes the evil which is in us, and she didn't seem to recognize that she had that evil there. And so to combat that, we and this country of ours needs to ask God to purify our hearts so that what comes out is good, not evil.
Waiting in the streets of Market Harborough. He's sitting outside Tesco's with a scruffy little dog, dirty stained blankets, and an old hat as a begging bowl. What do we do? I suspect most of us turn away and walk quickly past as we're too busy to stop, let alone speak to him or offer him a cup of tea. Speak, O Lord, spur us into action, so it is your voice we are hearing, someone who is calling for help. Jesus Christ is raging in the streets of injustice. So we pray that you will stir up your love, rekindle our hope, and strengthen our spirits, that we might challenge injustice wherever it raises its ugly head throughout the world. Jesus Christ is healing. Lord, help us to be people of action to those who need healing in many and varied ways. May we show kindness and self-giving in all we do. Jesus Christ is dancing. We pray that the love you showed in your earthly ministry to those who hated you be evident in our thoughts, hearts, and deeds as true followers of the Christ of compassion. Jesus Christ is calling. Yes, he's calling each and every one of us. May we answer his invitation to travel with him throughout our faith journey, strengthening and encouraging us to be Christ to all we meet along the way. We now have a time of silence.
We'll have our second reading, which is from Ephesians. St. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, which is full of wise teaching. And he spells out for them the grace that God has bestowed on them. And then later in the letter encourages them to grow in faith and be changed by it. And in the verses we are about to hear, he speaks about what should come out of their mouths.
So reading from Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
There seems to be a claim that free speech means we can say what we like, but with freedom comes responsibility. And I sometimes think that I wish the American country would see that it's right to bear arms. also comes with responsibility, that actually you might have the right to do something, but you don't have to do it. And so with the freedom to speech, freedom of speech comes responsibility. And it's easier for us to do what humans do and see the other as alien and not to treat people with dignity and respect and love. Last week, the Princess of Wales spoke out about the use of mobile phones and how it was fragmenting society. And it's the use of social media which appears to provide a platform for this so-called free speech. It's as if people think they're invisible or untraceable as they express horrific opinions. One such lady a few years ago was a stalwart of her local church and seemed shocked and amazed when confronted by her hateful tweets, almost as if it wasn't really her. I was actually hearing about a book, I can't even remember the title at the moment, about the coming of the machine and the way that it is gradually dehumanizing humanity, and that they're actually beginning to be a kickback. And I noticed that my granddaughter, who I visited the other week, is actually coming off social media and lessening her presence out in the ether. And I wonder if that's a sort of, if there's a swing against all this social media that's causing so much harm. At our harvest festival the other week, Andy spoke about the need for us to be sowing the right sort of seed in our lives, seeds that will bear fruit. All seeds bear fruit. Seeds of hate, superiority, rudeness, thoughtfulness, thoughtlessness, and all the anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, misogyny, homophobia, all these bear fruit, which in some cases, sadly, is used as an excuse for actual violence. It's almost as if there's a sort of a level at which speech is safe, but certain vulnerable people who've take this on board and it erupts into the actual violence that we see, as in the attack on the synagogue and the attack on those little girls and other things that we hear about. And our job as Christians is actively, not passively, culture seeds of righteousness and godliness. The seeds that Andy spoke of grew into plants, flourishing, whose leaves were for the healing of the nations, and whose fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the seeds which we need to nurture, to water, and to feed and protect as they grow into plants which spread the love of God in our communities.
Let us pray. Loving God, we are part of a self-serving world in which greed rules. Profit is seen as paramount, and looking after number one is the all-consuming creed. Too easily we absorb such values, concerned purely with our own comfort and well-being. We talk of service, but are forgetful of others. We speak of sacrifice, but shy away from the prospect of costly commitment. Teach us your way of humility and costly love. You love us without questioning. May we bring compassion, healing, and peace without prejudice to all whom you might lead us to this week. Amen. We now have our reading from James chapter 3.
The letter of James is a letter from James, not to him. He's probably the brother of Jesus and became one of the leaders of the early church in Jerusalem. And he writes this letter as to the 12 tribes, and that would may mean just the Jewish Christians. And like Paul, this letter contains advice on how to live the Christian life. And in chapter 3, he talks about speech.
So from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are large, so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they're guided via a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so.
Oh dear, one little spark can set a forest on fire. One passing unkind remark in a school can seem to give permission for a person to be mercilessly bullied. One small racist jibe on Facebook can unleash the white supremacist onslaught suffered by black and Asian people. The condemnation of immigration gives the idea that all immigrants can be dehumanized, taunted, threatened. One small hatred of Jews grew and grew and set off the Holocaust. What can we do? What can we do? When I was a small child at home, my father heard me say something he perceived as disrespectful to my mother. And he would say, "Watch your tongue, young lady." If it was a swear word, unheard of in our house, it was a threat to wash your mouth out with soap. Do any of you remember those threats from when you were young? I don't remember this threat being carried out, but it was the ultimate punishment for foul language. And I do remember visiting my family home after I'd left and was an adult. And my father was very frustrated about something, and he said, "Damn." And we were so shocked and actually burst out laughing at his discomfort, because never before or since had I heard him swear. So what can we do? Repent of our complicity? What paper do we read and nod in agreement at some very biased comment? What gossip do we share with a glint of malicious pleasure in our eye? What racist joke do we hear and not stand against it, but possibly think it's enough just to ignore it or walk away without comment? What do we nurture in our hearts, even though we know if Christ appeared, we would be deeply ashamed? So what can we do in our small way to turn things around? Remember those seeds of Andes. Plant those. Water them. Defend the tiny shoots and let them grow strong and healthy. It's in our homes that we set an example to our children and our grandchildren. And it's in our church that we can help each other grow well. It's in our good soil groups that we can feed our seeds with love and the knowledge of Scripture. And it's our contribution to this country and its healing that it so badly needs. It's what we can offer in our small way, to be light in the darkness, to be green shoots in a desert, to offer love for hate. That's what we can offer to our Lord and to our fellow people. I want to finish with a story. It's a myth, although I believe some people here have had a similar experience contained within it. It's a story I love. It's of three farmers who had land near to each other. One was a Christian, one was a Jew, and one was a Muslim. On Friday, the weather was perfect for ploughing, with a weather forecast showing the next days would be poor weather conditions. The Christian and the Jew looked over the fence and decided to do the Muslim's ploughing for him, along with their own, as he was at Friday prayers. The Muslim came home, and he was so pleased and grateful for this. Later, the window of good weather fell on a Saturday, and the Muslim and Christian did their sowing, but also for their Jewish neighbour while he kept the Sabbath. Again, gratitude and delight were expressed. When harvest time, what? Can you guess what? The sun shone on a Sunday. And so the Jew and the Muslim together gathered in the harvest for the Christian while he went to church. And home he came to only to find his fields harvested, and the three rejoiced together that they could serve each other with love and respect. It's a myth, of course, but the hearts of the three were full of love, and their speech would have shown kindness as well. And I have heard of places where things like this do happen. We do need to take heed of our own selves and ask God's help to become Christ-like. So we'll go into our final period of silence.